Behold our God seated on high, sovereign Lord, highly exalted, absolute ruler over all. We love you. We adore you. Amen. I want to thank you, worship team, for leading us in those songs. We're really grateful. I just sensed this morning during that time of prayer and reflection that there's just a lot of brokenness that's here this morning, and I don't know what all that means. But I want to encourage you to listen carefully to what God may be saying to you this morning. Because he's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. I'd like to invite Kara Lannis to come up at this time. And I just wanted to have an opportunity to talk with Kara in front of you for a little bit. Kara, you're going to be out of here in a couple of days. You just called me yesterday and said that's going to happen. And this may actually be your last Sunday here for a while. And so why don't you tell us where you're going and when and how long you're going to be gone?
I'm headed to Wyoming next Monday. Will probably be my flight. And I will be out there for 3 months and then on an outreach in Mongolia with reindeer herders, which we didn't talk about first service. And
reindeer
I'm super pumped.
Reindeer herders.
Yeah. In Mongolia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're not kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
It's not like a movie.
No, I'm super excited. But yeah, and then I'll be out there for about 1.5 months and then come back to Wyoming for a little bit.
And this organization is called?
Cowboys with a Mission.
What is Cowboys with a Mission?
It's pretty much YWAM Youth with a Mission, just the cowboy version.
Yeah, but hold it here. What's the cowboy version?
In Wyoming, we're going to be staying on a ranch and pretty much learning horsemanship skills.
Did you ever ride a horse in your life?
I'm a cow person. Cows move slower than horses. I don't like horses, but we'll see.
But you're going to find out. Okay.
And we're going to like herd cattle and brand cattle and do all that ranchy stuff.
There you go. So some of you have heard with Youth with a Mission. So this is another division of it called Cowboys with a Mission. Really, really cool. So what led you in this direction, Kara? I mean, why Cowboys with a Mission now?
I was planning on doing it in the fall. I had written up an application to send in the fall, but Marlon was talking about this Guatemala trip, and I felt really led to go on that. So
and
the
you're
fall
still
going to
go
work.
On that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool. Okay.
And then the next spring didn't work for me, and so I had a friend who just came back from Cowboys with a Mission. She was like, oh, we'll just sign up for this spring. And I was like, this spring? Like 2 weeks from now? And she's like, yeah, this spring. And I was like, will they even let me in? She's like, all you can do is call them and try, and they let me in. So
that's phenomenal. So Cowboys with a Mission. So besides roping cattle and doing all this kind of stuff, what do you really hope to learn from this experience?
I'm really excited about their discipleship training school. They have a bunch of different
classes.
And that's
like 3 months, right?
Yeah.
3 months, okay.
And they have different classes about, you know, hearing the voice of God and knowing him better, and then like evangelism classes, and I'm really excited about those. Because I haven't heard a lot of practical ways of sharing your faith, and I'm really excited about that because I'd like to know a little bit more about how to go about that, and then we'll get to practice that in Mongolia, so that'll be exciting.
That is just great. And I just want to say to all of you, I've been really, really encouraged over the last couple of years as I've seen all of our youth go into various mission programs, and that's been a really, really cool thing. So I encourage you, if you get the chance, talk to Kara about this afterwards, because this is it. We won't see you for a little while, except I think there's something you have to come home for.
I have to come home for my sister's wedding, but she skipped my graduation for her YWAM, so I told her I was going to skip her wedding. But that didn't go over too well. So
that didn't work too well.
No, I have to fly back for that.
Yeah, I bet that didn't work too well for your mom either.
Yeah, well, we won't say anything about
okay,
that.
Okay, we'll say that. Every now and then when you're up front, you just say things you shouldn't say. Anyway, would you just bow your heads and join me in a prayer for Kara? Father, we just want to pray right now your protection around Kara's life. And we pray that you just go before her. Pray that you would make her a blessing to other people. We pray that you would encourage her and strengthen her and help her to do what's right. Father, we pray that she'd be encouraged, that she would learn things about sharing her faith, and she'd learn things about worship and learn things about hearing your voice and hearing what you have for her. And we just thank you that she's taken this step of faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, I'll take care of this. So, Kara, you weren't in for this part last service, so I'm going to just say this because I waited till you're out of the room to say this. But, you know, it especially is a blessing to me to see Carrie do this because I feel like she's kind of one of my kids because I helped homeschool her for a little while in her junior high years. My daughter was there, and a couple of girls would come over, and we'd have a Bible lesson. And I remember those days. And so it's just really, really cool to see this kind of thing happen. In case you don't know by now, my name's Marlon. I'm the pastor at Timberline, and I'm just want to welcome you here to this worship time and to this message. This morning, I want to talk with you about free time or leisure time or downtime or whatever you want to call it. This is a topic that I don't think I have ever addressed before, but this topic came to my mind a number of months ago, and I just felt like the Lord impressed it upon my heart to pursue it here in a message on a Sunday morning. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So what is free time? I want you to think about that question, and does it really exist? Is there really such a thing as free time? Someone has described free time as the awkward moment when you're not sure if you actually have free time or if you're just forgetting everything. So I don't know, you know, if it really does exist or not. But if it does exist, let's take for a moment that it may. If it does exist, who owns it? Who owns your free time? Is it your spouse? Is it your kids? Is it your parents? Is it your boss? Or is it God? Is free time kind of like the tithe, and you're supposed to kind of give 10% of your free time to God, and then you keep the rest of it? The reality is this. We all have the same amount of time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. It's one of those commodities that has been given to every living person evenly, and we all make choices concerning how we spend it. And so this morning, one of the things that I want you to think about is, you know, how does free time look to you? Does it look like this, for example? Is that like free time for you? You know, or does it maybe look like this? You know, when you think of free time, what comes to your mind? Does it look like this? You know, just out in a boat, chilling. Or does it look like this? Maybe you're into a little bit more excitement than that. Or does it look like this? You know, what does free time look like to you? Or maybe you're saying this is just really what free time is. That's it, huh, John? That's it, John. Okay. So I asked my creative ministries team, I asked them to define free time. And in a minute, I'm going to give you the opportunity to see if they missed anything. I'll give you the chance to respond. But here's what they came up with. First of all, we spend so much of our life being busy that when we have free time, we waste it. Another person said, free time is so costly that it is anything but free. It is precious. Another person, it's not excess because everyone has the same amount. Free time is a lack of obligation. It's time to nap. Free time is time that no one else is telling me what to do. It's time that nothing is planned. Free time is options. Another person said this, if we don't decide what to do with our free time, it's gone. Just like money, it's gone. So did they miss anything? What would you like to add to that? Give you just a minute, if any of you want to add to it. If we got it all covered, we'll move on. Free time, what is it to you? What do you think about free time? Real quick, anybody? Go ahead, David. It has to in some way, shape, or form involve fishing. We all have our perspective, David, thanks. Anybody else? Free time. Sunday, watching golf? John just said up here it's the same thing as taking a nap. Yeah. I'm with you, John. I'm with you. I've always said there's two of the boringest things on TV, watching bowling and watching golf. But anyway, I'm glad somebody likes it. Anybody else? Real quick, give you your opportunity. Okay, we're going to move right along. So let me ask you this. If we do have free time, if we do, why would God allow us to have it? What is the purpose of it? Does God have free time? Or is he always kind of busy taking care of his creation? Was free time his plan from the beginning? You know, did free time exist 2,000 years ago or 200 years ago? Or is it only, is this free time thing only a 20th or 21st century phenomenon? But if we do have free time, how do we spend it? How should we spend it? Does God care how we spend it? Is it really our choice how we spend it? Every now and then I hear someone make this comment and they say, I just need to kill a little time. And I'm thinking, really? You're going to kill time? You don't have anything better to do with your life than kill time. Don't say that around me. Kill time? It's a terrible statement. Now, is free time something for us to kill or waste? Or is that just the nature of free time? Is that just what it really means? Someone once said that the most successful people tend to spend their free time in the following seven ways. I'm going to give you seven ways that successful people spend their free time. Now, I want you to listen carefully to these seven ways and see if you can identify with any of them at all, or maybe all of them. Here they are. Number one, they exercise. Successful people exercise. Exercise can reduce the long-term effects of stress by building muscle, burning calories, and oxygenating. Is that a word? Oxygenating the brain. It can also make us look better and feel better and therefore increase our confidence. Okay, number two, they read. Successful people never stop reading new books because it increases our vocabulary, our comprehension, and our communication skills. It also gives us a better understanding of the world around us. That's number two. Number three, they take classes. The most successful people in the world are ones who make a commitment to never stop learning. They're always incorporating new skills for their resumes, learning new aspects of the world around them. Are you with me? Can you identify with any of these? Okay. Number four, they volunteer. Volunteering, no matter where or how you do it, is beneficial for all of us, whether we're volunteering at church or whether we're volunteering in a soup kitchen or whether we're volunteering by mentoring maybe a younger person. Volunteering goes a long way towards improving the community around us. Number five, they network. Successful people are willing to step outside their comfort zones in an effort to meet new people, regardless of any professional circumstances surrounding their effort. The wider our network of contact, the more opportunities we will have down the road. That's number five. Number six, they have hobbies. Facing and pursuing a hobby helps us relieve stress, puts our job in perspective, and builds the skills that complete our job, complement our job. It's a breath of fresh air that keeps us grounded. That's six of them. Let me give you number seven and the last one. They spend time with friends and family. Focusing too much on our career is self-sabotaging, no matter how counterintuitive that may sound. Let me say that again. Focusing too much on our career is self-sabotaging. So this past week, I was in a professional place, and I was at an office, and I happened to walk in and talk to somebody that I knew, and they said to me, my husband works 16 hours a day. He's been doing that for years, and he loves it. And I'm like, really? 16 hours a day, 5 days a week. How many hours a week is that? 80. He's been doing it for years, and he loves it. Think about that. You know, if we want to be successful in life, we must prioritize our personal relationships. And to neglect family and friends is a quick way to despair and depression. So, seven of them there. I'm wondering, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm wondering, can you identify with all of these, some of these? You know, do these seven, when you look at these seven up there, does that energize you or does that make you go, tired? Just looking at all that stuff I'd have to do in my free time, it makes me tired. Does the Bible address free time? How many of you say, yes, it does? Raise your hand, quick, raise your hand. How many of you say, no, it does not address free time? Raise your hand, quick. How many of you don't know? How many of you don't care? You're not supposed to raise your hand on that one. Well, I searched free time in the most up-to-date current language paraphrase I could find, and also the old goodies, and the term is not there, free time. I couldn't find it. If any of you find it, please let me know this week. Send me an email. Tell me I've been wrong. I've been wrong many times. But the concept is there, free time. The concept of free time is absolutely there. Let me share with you a great verse out of Ecclesiastes. There is a time, Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Everything. It's there. Free time is legitimate, folks. It's legitimate. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So here's what we can learn about free time. Commit it to the Lord. Whether we're taking a nap, whether we're playing hockey, whether we're watching TV, whether we're knitting or rock climbing, every one of these activities can be committed to the Lord and we will succeed. That's what this verse is saying. It doesn't mean that we're going to be rich. It doesn't mean that we're always going to win. It doesn't mean we'll never be sick. It just means that in the big, big picture of things, God will make even our free time succeed. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all. Do it all for the glory of God. So here's what we learn about free time. Do whatever we do in our free time for the glory of God. Did you ever think about the fact that a power nap can be for the glory of God? Or even a good movie or a brisk walk or playing catch with our kids. These things that I just mentioned, like a power nap, they don't need to be on the fringes of God's will or on the edge of our spiritual journey. They can be dead center. They can be done for the glory of God. And so many times we don't get that. We think somehow or another those things are just kind of, well, just things we do. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So here's what we can learn about free time. Do it in the name of the Lord and do it with thanksgiving. You see, if we do free time our own way in our own name, in our own way of doing it, if we do it and we mumble and we grumble our way through it, we will not succeed and it will not honor God no matter how much time we spend in free time. Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So here's what we can learn about free time. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. So if you're jogging, jog with all your heart. If you're snoozing, snore with gusto. It's what it says. With all your heart or all your lungs or whatever you take to snore, it doesn't matter, you know. If you're pedaling a bike, pedal with all that's within you. See, God is for us. He's not against us. And I found it interesting that I wrote that in my notes before I knew that we were going to sing that this morning. He's for us. He's not against us. And these verses are a great encouragement to live life to the fullest. But when it comes down to it, how do we know how much free time to schedule into our lives? How do you know? How do you know? So does anyone want to answer that question? How do you know? I'll give you a minute. How do you know? Back here. Going to tell you. Okay. So start with dedicating it to the Lord. Okay. Somebody else. How do you know? Someone said first service, well, if I have any time left over at the end of the day. Is that what it is? Is it up to us? Do we just work and then whatever time we have left over is ours to burn up? Is it a matter of what we can afford financially? You know, does God give more free time to some by giving them more money and more financial resources, therefore they have more free time, or should we be using more of our free time for ministry? Now, let me be right up front with you. You know, my guess would be that there are some of us sitting right here today that should be more generous with our free time and should be more generous in giving away our time to others and stop hoarding all of it for ourselves. I imagine that there's some of us sitting here today that's what we need to think about. And my guess would be that there's others of us here today who need to develop more boundaries for ourselves and learn how to guard our free time more carefully, because we just keep giving it away and we don't have that downtime that we need. And maybe some of you here today have really learned to balance that well. This is what I'm not going to do this morning. I'm not going to tell you how many hours a week you should set aside, and I'm not going to tell you what you should do with your free time. If you're disappointed, sorry, but I'm not going to go there. But what I am going to do is I'm going to take you to the scriptures so that we can look at some overriding principles that will help us to make wise free time decisions. So I want to invite you this morning, turn in your Bibles or to your phones or whatever, to the book of Romans. It's in the New Testament. I want you to turn to the book of Romans, and I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Okay? And I want you to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Probably for some of you, you've already read this verse sometime in your life. But I want to share this verse with you, and I want you to think about it in terms of free time, because we're going to kind of start at this point. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The goal of our life should be to live in such a way that we can discern what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. If we are able to do this, we have learned how to live. But how do we discover his good, pleasing, and perfect will? Well, we need to go back to the verse. It takes transformation. That's what the writer tells us. The word transformation comes from a Greek word, and it comes from a Greek word that means to shape something or to adjust the parts on something. It also has the idea of metamorphosis, you know, the whole idea of a butterfly being transformed. And this transformation happens by what? It happens, if you look in the verse, by the renewing of our mind. And that word renewing means to renovate. If you're a builder, you know what that word renovate means. It means to make something new. And notice that it's the renewing of our mind. So here's the deal. It starts in our mind. You know, if we renovate a building, we want it to look like new. We don't want it to look like old. We don't want it to look like a piece of junk or a piece of trash. We don't say, oh, I'm going to renovate my house, and my, look how rundown it looks now that I'm done. You know, we just don't do that. We renovate something because we want it to look new. And this renewal, it says that it starts in our mind. You see, so many times we get caught up with a list of things to do and deeds to accomplish. There's this constant rearrangement of priorities. Do I help this person, or do I fight for that cause, or do I make a contribution to this organization? We get things in the mail and we have to make decisions, or do I just stay home and prop up my feet and do nothing? And this process sometimes can be exhausting. You know, we're trying to figure out what we do here and what we don't do, and we try to figure out when to say no to and what to say yes to, and it just can exhaust us. And the writer of Romans is serving the ball into another court, a higher court, and he writes, here's where it has to start. We have to start with the transformation of our minds, the renewal of our minds. If we're not renewed here, nothing else is going to work right. It just isn't. So I want to begin this free time conversation with a word of instruction. Now, go to your notes. Let me give it to you. Number one, responsible free time begins with a renewed mind. responsible free time begins with a renewed mind. And I think Kaylee was talking about that as starting your day that way. So when a phone call comes in or an opportunity arises to go somewhere, or we have a choice to make, or we can opt to just stay on the recliner, the issue is this: has our mind been renewed? If our mind has been renewed, we are then in a position to make a good choice or to make a good decision. So how do we know if our mind is renewed? I want to give you this morning three very practical questions that we need to ask, that you need to ask yourself. And I want to encourage you to write those questions down. You have a space here to do it. And there's a key word in each one. Question number one, is Christ being honored in daily living? Is Christ being honored in daily living? If you want to know whether your mind's renewed, well, is Christ being honored in your daily living, the way you live? Is Christ being honored? The key word, honored. Question number two, is there any indication of faith present in our lives? Is there any indication of faith present in our lives? The key word there is faith. What does the scripture say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So here's the question in your life. Is there any indication of faith in your life? Do you live in such a way that you display faith? Question number three, do you truly love other people? Do you truly love other people? Or you just love yourself? Do you truly love other people? A transformed mind, a renewed mind, knows what it means to love other people. And we can really only know the answer to these three questions if we're listening and if we're in prayer and if we're in the Word of God. Responsible free time begins, number one, with a renewed mind. Number two, to go to your notes, responsible free time blossoms in the presence of God. It blossoms in the presence of God. Now, when something blossoms, it flourishes. In other words, it develops to its full potential. We say, oh, that person's really blossoming in that job or in their career. You know, it means they're like reaching their full potential. Here's what Psalm 84:10 says: better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. It's not about position or power or influence. It's about presence. It's about craving the presence of God. Craving the presence of God is an indication that our mind has been renewed, and this will influence our free time in a way that rules and guidelines will never touch. You know, I could stand up here this morning and I could say, well, you ought to spend this much time in free time. You ought to do this in your free time. You shouldn't do this in your free time. These are the do's. These are the don'ts. I could lay all that stuff out, but that's not going to be near as effective as it is as if you develop this craving for the presence of God. Better is one day in your courts, that's what the writer is saying, than thousands elsewhere. That court can be here Sunday morning, or that court can be at home in your war room, or it might be out in the woods, or it might be, you know, watching the sunrise. The important factor is that we crave the presence of God, because when we crave the presence of God, that's going to impact how we perceive our free time. And I just mentioned, is it at home in your war room? I'm just curious. How many of you ever watched the movie War Room? Raise your hand. I just want to tell you, if you haven't watched it, I really encourage you to watch it. It's got some really great things, practical things to say that can revolutionize your life. That movie is actually in the library, and I highly, highly recommend it. So it doesn't matter that when it talks about the courts, rather be in your courts, it can be here, but it can also be at home in your war room, the presence of God. Number three, responsible free time thrives in contentment. It thrives in contentment. Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. One of the books I remember reading as a kid was entitled The Contented Little Pussycat. How many of you have ever heard of this book? Raise your hand. Two people, my daughter and Sonny. In the first service, it was one person, my brother. I didn't write the book. It's a great little book. In this book, Abner, the cat, is always content. And so the other animals come to him to discover why. Why are you so content, Abner? And this was Abner's response. I never feel sorry about what happened yesterday, nor do I worry about what might happen tomorrow. That's contentment. I never feel sorry about what happened yesterday, nor do I worry about what might happen tomorrow. When the animals came and kind of pressed Abner on this a little bit further and said, how do you achieve this? This is what the cat answered. Why, no good thing was ever learned without practicing. Why, no good thing was ever learned about practicing. Contentment. If you don't have it, you might need to learn it. I know a number of people who have plenty of free time and yet they have no contentment. What a burden to have plenty of free time and no contentment. That's like cake without icing. That's like peanuts without salt. You know, that's like a computer without software or a phone without apps. I mean, it just... I have a phone without apps. It just... Jeremy has a phone without apps. Two of us. All right. But free time and no contentment? Can you imagine what a burden? Wow. I can't really fathom that. We need to eat, drink, and find satisfaction. Find satisfaction in what we do. That's number three. Number four, responsible free time requires work. It requires work. Here's what Exodus 20 says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God has free time. God has free time. He created free time. He mandated free time. God knows that we need times of rest and recreation. But I want you to catch this. It assumes that, first of all, we work. It has to start with work. Don't talk to me about free time if you don't understand how to work. It starts with work. If we don't have a proper understanding of work, we will have a difficult time understanding the concept of free time. I talked to a kid the other day, and he's 19 years old. And I said, so how do you like growing up? And he said, I don't. And I said, why not? He said, man, there's all this responsibility. He's 19. Responsibility, you know? Not sure he understood the concept of work. Maybe he did. I don't know. You know? If we don't understand work, we probably don't understand free time. We have this thing at Timberline called the Clarion Call. And, you know, God didn't put us here just to have a good time. Not at all. He didn't. He put us here for a purpose. He put us here for a reason. And that purpose... Here at Timberline, we've defined it as receiving God's love, rebuilding relationships, and restoring the world. And we believe that that's what God has called us to do. He didn't just put us here to work with our hands or just to make a living. He didn't put us here just to have free time and gallivant around and party. That's, you know, he put us here for a reason, to receive God's love and to rebuild relationships and to restore the world. And I had this crazy thing happen yesterday. Got a phone call from a lady. And I was her school bus driver when she was in grade school for 7 years. And she has two brothers, and I was her brother's school bus driver. And they were neighbors of ours, and I knew the family. And I got a call from her yesterday, and she told me that her mother, they just discovered 2 weeks ago that she has a brain tumor, and it's most likely cancerous. They did surgery. So she was in the hospital, and at the same time while her mother was in her hospital, her father was put on the hospital, was into the hospital three doors down, and he's in his last week of his life. He has major breathing issues, a number of things. And she said, I think he wants to talk about God. And I think he wants to see a chaplain. So will you go? So I talked to her last night about 9 o'clock, and I went in there last night about 10:30 to the hospital and spent about an hour with him. And during this time, we talked about the love of God, and we talked about forgiving other people and receiving God's forgiveness. We talked about eternal life, all the things that matter. He knows that he's facing days. And he's distraught. He can't hardly breathe, can't hardly talk. And he said to me, I want to believe, but I just don't have faith. What do you say? What do you say? I want to take a moment right now and just pray for this guy. Father, pray right now, and I'm just asking for the collective prayers of Timberline. Father, we pray that Dave will come to understand faith. Father, we pray, sovereign God, we pray for boldness for those that talk with him. We pray for a miracle. We pray for a sign or a wonder that will miraculously point him to the Savior. Father, I have a whole room full of people here right now that are just agreeing with me in prayer for this gentleman. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And I felt so inadequate last night because this guy is desperately wants to know that he has eternal life in heaven. And he has no guarantee. And he told me, I've read the Bible. I've studied it. I understand it. I know that the sins of the fathers get passed on to the third and fourth generation. He's read the Bible enough to know that. And I said, you know what? I'm thinking in my mind, you know what? If he can understand what it means to have faith in God, his conversion can get passed on to the third and fourth generation. And so this is what our clarion call is all about. Our clarion call is about receiving God's love, and that's my prayer for Dave. Our clarion call is about rebuilding relationships, and that's one of the things that needs to happen in his life and to restore his world. But I want to say this. You can't do that at 10:30 at night, or you can't do that when somebody calls you and asks that favor and, you know, you're just not sure whether you have the time or the energy. You can't do that unless we have learned to rest well and recharge well. We can't have those kind of conversations unless we are willing to take that free time, whether it means snoozing or goofing off or chilling out. We need to have that balance. We need to have that Sabbath rest. We need to be able to recharge in that way. And that's what I want you to get with this message today. I'm guessing that there's some of you here today that are way overcommitted, and you're the only one that can change that. I can't change that for you. And maybe there's some here today that aren't committed enough in time. But you have to make that decision. It is your choice. And that's my challenge. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today for your word, that it is true, that it is faithful. I want to thank you that we have opportunity today to have our minds renewed. And Father, whatever is going on in this congregation this morning, whoever's here with different issues or brokenness or things that are need fixing, Father, you're the only one that can address that. And so we surrender to you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of the last things I said to Dave before I left is, I said, you know what this is? You know, somebody's got a gun in your back. It's what you do. Hands go up. What does it mean? I surrender. And I said, that's all I can say is that I want to encourage you to put your hands up to surrender, you know. I want to thank you for being here and worshiping with us this morning. And there's a word that is used 276 times in the Bible. There's a word that's used 276 times, at least in the King James. And Jacob and I are going to talk about that word for the next 8 weeks. And he's going to join me in a sermon series entitled 276. Now, if any of you think you might know what that word is, see if you can let me know that before next Sunday, because next Sunday you will find out. But you can kind of see if you think you might know what that word might be. This morning we have a special privilege for our prayer time. You know, we do a prayer time up here, and this morning we're going to have the elders come up and their wives, and they're going to be available to pray with you. So let's stand to our feet, and Jim and Lori Snyder and Josh and Courtney Chrisman are going to come up, and they'll just be available to pray with any of you about anything you might want to pray about, and they're going to come up right now, and they'll hang around for a bit here afterwards. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. Stand up and consider things around you. Dig deep and seek the heart of God. Listen well and understand your calling. Reach out and take the hand of Christ, for he's heard the cries of those in trouble, and he knows both struggle and despair. So prepare, then seek the edges of his kingdom, and you will join him as he's working there. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.